Good morning. Y'all, you're getting me before I had my coffee. I was kind of set up to go this afternoon, so. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about Floyd Bennetfield, part of the Gateway National Recreation Area. And, you know, it's a joint project between National Parks and New York City Parks. So this area is a gateway. It's by landform, it's a gateway that connects Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, and the Hudson River. It's also at the mouth of New York City, so it's a real gateway for people. Gateway is recreation, and it's also a place for exploration. So Floyd Bennett Field, over 100 years ago, it was a natural landform. It's an estuary that was filled to become the airfield in the 30s and the 40s when it served as New York's first municipal airport. It had a short history, but it had some famous flyers. In the middle here is Amelia Earhart in 1936. Today, it's a little bit of a different space. It's sort of this open space that we're looking at. It still has a lot of fun events that are put forward by the Parks Department. Historical and some other ones you'll see as we move through here. It's very popular with the fishermen, but it's still a space that has some room to grow. So right now it's an estuary, it's a habitat, and these are some of the residents that we have here. Really two types. You have your migratory birds and fish that travel through this way. This is on the Atlantic Flyway. So it's a very important spot for many species as they make their trips every year. And it's a community of saltwater species and freshwater species. So the big challenge today is water. We have more water, and we have water that's a little more violent. So Hurricane Sandy was a big wake-up call, and over the next 50 to 80 years, we're looking at between 2 and 6 feet of sea level rise. The second big issue with water is water quality. As this area has been filling in with landfill and then the natural processes that follow that, water doesn't get back into the back bay like it used to. It doesn't circulate. There used to be a channel behind Floyd Bennett Field. That channel is now gone. So the water is getting stagnant in the back bay. So this is a resiliency home base. The Resilience Center at Floyd Bennett Field, Brooklyn, New York. Honoring the spirit of exploration and flight through leadership in the investigation of ecology, ecological resiliency. I started off by looking at the soils. We've talked about this particular North 40 area. Really problematic with these fly ash soils, very thick, they cake, they don't drain very well. And sort of as you move north, you get into these different sands that has a different drainage characteristic. So I had first, with some of my colleagues, we said, well, what can we do with this stuff? And I decided to move it. What I saw is a material that was really tough and it could become really a hard and movable object. So the strategy here is a runway to armors where we're going to saw cut and elevate out certain pieces of the 3-foot thick runway. And then we're also going to, on the other side, we're going to dig out some of these heavy, thick fly ash soils. And we're sort of going to make a cake out of them and use them to attenuate waves and to create habitat. And you can see that over time, as sea level rises, the topography that we're making with soil and these large slabs is going to create nooks and crannies for habitat, and that's what we're looking to do. So really on one side of this North 40, we're looking at creating a saltwater channel down the back end. This is opening up sort of similar to the original pattern that the inland sea has, and also mimicking some of the FEMA flood projections, to create a larger habitat diversity, we want to create some freshwater systems, and so by piling up the fly ash and using it as a landmass, we can create a protected area in the interior that will have more freshwater conditions. So here you see this North 40 area, the resiliency home base. I sort of like the concept of having two buildings, Resiliency 1 and Resiliency 2. The Resiliency Education Center that really has a face along Flatbush Avenue and engages the channel there and engages people coming in from the city. And then a station out on the water, really in this area that I don't know if I showed you, but the sea level is going to kind of come up where that Resiliency Research Center is. It's one of the areas that, you know, 2080 and beyond will be underwater. And my recommendation is sort of strategic retreat, but let's put this outpost there, and that sort of is where us people will sort of draw our line. So if you can remember that channel that I'm creating in the North 40 there, this is sort of looking at two scenarios, 2020 and 2050, with some typical ecological pioneers. I picked plant species to show that really have an interesting range. Saltay can go from a low marsh all the way into successional grassland. Goldenrod is a real traveler as well. And prickly pear is a really interesting one. You know, you'll find it down on the sandy shores, and you'll find it, you know, right up in that successional shrubland. And again, as the water rises, these plant communities are going to move uphill. So I gave them 20 feet to move up and develop a successional shrubland and maritime forest. And so goes the landscape, so goes the habitat. So the habitat will shift as the water conditions shift. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, people, mankind, really, you know, we do the whole range here. We don't necessarily live in this low salt marsh, but you know, there's people that definitely make their career out there, and other people for recreation. So this is the master plan for Floyd Bennett Field. Really trying to empower this place with the two research centers, field station right in that freshwater wetland area, bringing in a cafe and some strategies to get people out there. And I like the idea that the Department of Defense was there, and I thought we could give them some more space with some of the challenges that the city will face as far as staging for emergency response. Floyd Bennett Field's in a great spot for that. And this is how we get people out there, really big on the bike trail and the blue trail. It's just an awesome space for cycling. It's so big, and you really have amazing view sheds. I didn't show them to you, but when you go up, you can you see the Freedom Tower, you see the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building, and so once you get some elevation, you go up on top of that mound that we excavated to make the channel. You really have some great views of the city. Then I have a shuttle service, so really getting people in their kayaks and their bikes so they can come out there and have a good time. And really empowering it as you know, in sort of the spirit of national parks, hiking, camping, and then allowing it to be a car park, you know, letting people go out and drive around on this space and bring in RVs and have people. People who have RV camping don't have a place in New York where they can park their RV and then go to Madison Avenue. So this actually would be the New York's RV camping spot. So this is one of those wave attenuating berms, and I didn't really show you the spot, but I can go back and show you it. But pretty much laying in these big slabs, they're really heavy. They're going to sit up 10 to 12 feet above sea level, and you can pull your kayak up it, you can hike up, have go to the Lounge Cafe, get yourself a portobello mushroom sandwich. Sea rise, you know, the channel is sort of designed to accommodate up, you know, 6 feet of sea level. There's some issues with the Bell Parkway. Trying to, you know, they're going to have to raise the Bell Parkway, but the channel helps to some degree. And that's the end.
Thanks, Fred. I'm going to start with Elizabeth, since this is, the belt is your home.
Yeah, they are going to have to raise the beltway, but not in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting about this, and you kind of skipped over it, is the dikes. I mean, after Sandy, everybody in New York was, you know, the Dutch do all these wonderful things. We should do what the Dutch do. And they have a whole system of dikes and pumps and things like that that they use to protect land masses. And I think if you had further explored how those dikes might protect things and what they could protect, you know, pull the resiliency center in, let the resiliency center be protected as well, I think that would have been really interesting. I like the ideas that you have regarding the edges. I think a lot of projects at this phase have very unnatural forms, and that is a really nice natural form. But I think a little more exploration on the resiliency portion of it would have been good.
Great.
Minka. Mm.
Well, I think it's a new idea that we haven't seen yet, which is it's actually an existing channel. It's the Irish Channel.
Right.
Instead of focusing resiliency and wetlands in the North 40, but making that cut, you know, to the inlet side, and it's something that has actually been discussed, that we're actually looking at. So it's not, I mean, it's, who knows? I would suggest, though, that doing some of the protective measures that you have on sort of the one side here, the more southern side, might be equal on the northern side to protect the Belt Parkway.
Sure.
Maybe that's part of a further investigation on that. But I think, you know, you did a nice job of really looking at, you know, recreation with resiliency. It's just not for resiliency alone, but you really got the spirit of the national park system and camping and recreational opportunities, so I think it's well done.
Matt.
Brett, nice presentation. I particularly like your bold proposal to bring in this channel, sort of going back to the historical connectivity between the inner estuary and the inlet. I think what spoke to me most was, you know, sort of human ecological framework. You didn't separate humans from the rest. You sort of treated us as part of the system. That was a very nice element. I saw why you wanted to get the education center out where the most public are going to interface with it, but it's it'd be disappointing to remove it from where the research is happening and sort of try to involve the education and research together. So there's sort of two sides to that, to that coin, but great ideas.
Any other comments for Brett? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.